Welcome to Plastic Surgery Practice Magazine's podcast series on fillers and injectables, brought to you by Mentor, makers of Prevel, and the Multispecialty Foundation. I'm Jeffrey Frenson, editor of Plastic Surgery Practice Magazine. In part one of this four-part series, we tackle the next generation of injectables and fillers. Joining me are Dr. Joseph Nyamtu, a cosmetic surgeon based in the Norfolk, Virginia area, and Catherine Maley, author and aesthetic practice marketing professional based in San Francisco. We start with Catherine Maley. When it comes to fillers and injectables, where are we now and where are we headed? What are the products that are going to revolutionize the field in the future?
It's not so much which one product is the most promising. It's which physicians are getting really good at combination therapies that are going to give the aesthetic patient the wow result they want, which is no downtime and instant results. It's the whole combination therapy of multiples of products, because you use different wrinkle fillers for different reasons, or I guess different injectables for different reasons.
So it's the whole genre as opposed to individual products.
It's right. It's the physician who gets really good at sculpting the face, or I guess rejuvenating the face using a whole new mixture of tools in their toolbox. Whereas before they would just use, I mean, we literally just had two products to use. One was Botox, one was collagen. And you did what little you could do with that. Well, now everything has changed because of the introduction of so many new fillers that do different things for different reasons. So it's the physician who gets super good at taking all those tools, looking at a face, and sculpting it the way, you know, the physician and the patient want it.
As an artist would sculpt.
We want cheap, we want fast, we want, you know, gratification now, not later. So the products that are giving the patient all of those things are the injectables. I mean, you can see a wrinkle filler instantaneously. You can see the result you're getting. And then with Botox, you see that a couple days later. So these newer products are fulfilling the dreams of an aesthetic patient, which is instant, fast, easy, cheap, no downtime.
I asked the same question of Dr. Nyamtu. Where are we in terms of fillers and injectables technology, and where are we headed?
When you consider that 20 years ago we had basically two choices, and that was Xyderm and Xyplast, which was pretty much bovine collagen. And if you look where things have gone, it's amazing and it's exponential. I think there was initially a fight to get as many new companies and new fillers to the table as possible. But just like any other segment of consumer goods, things kind of weed themselves out. Recently, we had several new fillers introduced, Artifil, which was one of them, which is a permanent filler, which has been popular in Europe and other countries for the last decade. However, they recently went out of business in this country. I think the biggest bang that we have seen definitely was with the release of the hyaluronic acid fillers, namely Restylane in, I believe, 2001, and more recently, the Juvederm Ultra and Juvederm Ultra Plus. There's no doubt that these are the most popular fillers, and I think it's going to be a while before they're displaced. Having said that, there's certainly a lot of other companies with their eye on the market. One of the trendy things that are occurring are for the filler companies to add local anesthetic to their fillers. And having said this, Elvest is one of the companies that has produced a filler with a local anesthetic, and you're going to see the other companies, including the main companies, follow up on this. I'm not sure that this is a giant leap in terms of filler usage, but again, to grab shares of the marketplace, you're going to be seeing companies doing every little thing they can to remain competitive. Another new filler recently released, this is kind of a new family of fillers, is Evolence, which is made of porcine collagen. It's actually the largest used filler in Israel, and it makes you wonder why we're throwing back to collagen, but actually porcine collagen is very similar to human collagen, and you know that heart valves and other medical materials are made from porcine collagen, and the incidence of allergy is so low, the way this is purified and the way the immunotelligens are removed, that it does not require allergy testing. We have seen Radiesse pretty much hold its own, although I think that it is falling back behind the hyaluronic acid in Radiesse is a synthetic bone matrix type substance made out of hydroxyapatite. And it is a more of a paste consistency as opposed to the hyaluronic acid gels. And this is one of the longer lasting fillers. This reported to have last or to remain for up to 18 months. It is also interesting that the newer the fillers, the longer they seem to last, and most of these companies are boasting anywhere from 8 to 18 months. However, I think that the practitioner has to be extremely cautious because in reality, this is an extremely variable situation, and you've got to be careful what you promise your patients. Silicone oil, which is FDA approved for injection in the eye for retinal detachment, has remained a popular filler with a lot of practitioners, and although silicone has had its share of bad publicity, when used properly with a micro droplet technique, it's actually a very viable filler, and it is also a permanent filler. There are other fillers that stimulate collagen production, as does silicone, and Sculptra, or L-polylactic acid, is a similar filler. This is basically, in the United States, approved for the treatment of HIV lipodystrophy, which is seen from using antiretroviral medications. And although many practitioners are enthralled with Sculptra, I personally did not find it to be that advantageous and don't use this in my practice. There are still some other human collagen fillers that are available. Cosmoplast and Cosmoderm are tissue-engineered human collagens cultured from infant foreskins. And although these produce a nice result, are very easy to use, and I think they're actually great fillers to teach novice injectors with, but they just don't hang around long. They probably last 3 or 4 months at best. So to summarize these comments, I think the challenge in the filler market is for companies to develop fillers that are biocompatible, that are long-lasting, and that are affordable. And I think that we'll see a continual race between the company, the media, and the consumer in search of this filler. And something new is going to come out every month, and like anything else, some will fall by the wayside, and some will find a place in the armamentarium of filler injectors.
Tune in to all 4 episodes of Plastic Surgery Practice Magazine's Fillers and Injectables podcast series. I'm Jeffrey Frentzen. Thank you for listening.